1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line for you as we launch an hour number one of the program. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. As always, lots to talk about tonight. I know, Mark, you want to get to a couple of different emails. But first, I think we should update America on the State of the Union. Isn't the president going to give some speech tonight or something like that? I know it's not the State
News
of the Union.
News to me.
Actually, I don't have an update on the State of the Union, but I do have an update on the state of the Department of Homeland Security, which is one of the biggest bureaucracies in the entire federal government. You know, as you may be aware, they reformed, they reorganized all these CIA and FBI and these government enforcement bureaucracies, and they put them all under the overhang of the Department of Homeland Security. And, of course, everybody looks to these guys as, you know, please keep us safe. Oh, big government, we just want to be safe. We'll do whatever it takes. We'll give you all of our freedoms and liberties. Just keep us safe.
When, in fact, we just give them our freedoms and liberties, and they don't keep us safe.
Right. So
how can someone actually keep you safe? Perhaps they can protect you now and then from something bad that might happen, but there's no way to have this amorphous idea of safety.
Now, beyond the fact that the head of the Department of Homeland Security himself admitted, I think about a month ago, that the current situation today in America is that we are as vulnerable or more vulnerable to terrorist attack than we were in 2001. So they've already admitted that they haven't really done anything. They've already admitted that at least what they have done has been completely ineffective, which, of course, it's a government program. So this is what you should begin to expect from government programs. If you're new to this show, then you'll figure it out eventually. Government doesn't work. It doesn't do a very good job at anything that it attempts. And in this particular case, they're taking your liberties. And as you say, Mark, that's about it. Because you're not getting anything in return. You're not getting extra security. Benjamin Franklin said it best.
Mm-hmm.
So
he that would trade a essential liberty for a little bit of security deserves neither and will get neither.
Michael Hampton at HomelandStupidity.us breaks it down for us. In the 4 years since its creation, the Department of Homeland Security has fallen far short of expectations, according to an extensive congressional audit released last week. The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, failed to meet more than half of 171 performance expectations during the department-wide department-wide review conducted from March to July of this year, according to the Government Accountability Office, the GAO. You know, if there's one government bureaucracy that I'm in favor of, that's the one.
Yeah, I like them too. If there was a GAO t-shirt, I would wear it.
The department was created in 2003 to merge 22 separate governmental agencies with the overall mission of preventing and responding to terrorist attacks and natural disasters. The report, broken down by mission and management areas, stated that DHS had made the most progress in maritime security and little to no progress with emergency preparedness and response, science and technology, human capital management, and information technology management. Not coincidentally, these are the areas in which the Department of Homeland Security has had its most publicized failures. Most notably, GAO's chief auditor told Congress that the DHS couldn't take credit for the lack of terrorist attacks since September 11, 2001. Quote, I don't think we can take comfort in the fact necessarily that we haven't had another attack, according to the GAO comptroller David Walker. During congressional testimony, the Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff defended the department's progress. He said, but if you ask me, it's the job of keeping us, is the job of keeping us safe done? The answer to that is no. It's not done, and it may not be done within our lifetimes.
It won't be done until every American, every person on American soil is locked in a rubber room. Do you understand? There's no way to have safety and security, especially against a group of people that may very well kill themselves in order to cause mm-hmm. destruction and death here in America. You just can't. The only thing you can do is give up my freedoms.
The best way to have security is to have total liberty, is to have the freedom to bear arms and the freedom to go about your life as you see fit. And if indeed someone tries to do something crazy that you have maybe even a few seconds to react to, at least at that point, you'll have some sort of weapon on you and you'll be able to take your fate into your own hands instead of depending on some government bureaucrat somewhere to keep you safe. Chertoff also told Congress the department suffered from too much congressional oversight and that oversight should be consolidated. Chertoff said the department reports to 86 committees and subcommittees and will be likely spending a total amount of 15,000 work hours this year supporting formal congressional hearings, saying that, moreover, the number of very detailed written reports required of DHS is proliferating at an alarming rate. So now he's saying that it's because they have to report to Congress is why they haven't gotten anything done.
Yeah. We just have too much oversight. We need to be able to do whatever we want.
Right. Don't pay any attention to us and we'll get the job done. That's what he's saying. Arguably, he says, the most important step Congress can take to improve operational effectiveness is to streamline oversight of the DHS, blah, blah, blah. Michael Hampton says, I suppose he forgot to mention the department itself is growing at an alarming rate. Is it any wonder that it can't get everything done? Speaking of Chertoff, he's calling for shared sacrifice in the name of security, calling for all Americans to accept minor inconveniences like the real ID card, you know, the national ID card they've been talking about, holy border fences, and blue-gloved customs agents poking ordinary Americans trying to get home from Canada. Chertoff says he's frustrated by the growing number of people, quote, this is Chertoff, people who say, yes, protect us, but not if it inconveniences me, unquote. In an interview shortly before the 6th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, he said he considers it to be one of his biggest obligations in the remaining 16 months that he has in office to eliminate the not-in-my-backyard attitude when it comes to relatively small costs and inconveniences. He says he'll launch a campaign to spread a message of shared sacrifice in as plain English as I can, as often as I can, and in as many places as I can until January of 2009. Shared sacrifice.
I'm not really interested in whatever sacrifices Mr. Chertoff wants me to make.
Why don't you sacrifice first there, buddy? Why don't you go ahead and... In fact, why don't you just sacrifice your life while you're at it? I think that'd be nice.
I don't care whether he whether he lives or dies is fine with me. That doesn't matter. What matters to me is I'm not really interested in giving up my liberties. I don't like the TSA poking around and putting their hands on me and my family. I don't like it when they are going through baby carriages in front of me. I find it very disconcerting. It seems like a total waste to me when they tell people to throw away their water bottles and that kind of thing. This isn't keeping us safe, people. It isn't.
You know, I've been falling way behind on reading chapters of The Market for Liberty. I've been turning it into an audiobook, and honestly, I really need to catch up. But one of the things that I really enjoyed about that book is they address the concept of sacrifice. Because in this country, through the government educational system and in popular culture, you'll constantly see references to self-sacrifice and sacrifice as being virtuous, sacrifice as being heroic, sacrifice as being something that should be looked up to and emulated. And that's what Michael Chertoff is saying here, that, well, we just all need to have shared sacrifice. You need to sacrifice some of your freedoms and liberties in order to be for the greater good, for the common good. Sacrifice is held up and vaunted, when in fact the Market for Liberty points out very well that sacrifice is simply a destruction of value. You take something that you have that is valuable, and then you just destroy it. No one is given anything from that. There's no benefit to be perceived from doing that, except that you're supposed to look good because you're sacrificing something. And it's not virtuous to sacrifice. It's not virtuous at all.
Hollywood movies show sacrifice all the time, and it looks good when they do. The hero dies while the young girl escapes, or whatever
that sort of thing.
The scenario is that they set up. Sacrifice, it seems to me that sacrifice, part of its definition is something that comes from me, from the inside. Like, I decide to sacrifice. When you take something from me, that's not sacrifice on my part. Sacrifice is something that I, you know, it's sort of emotionally coming from the inside of me. I choose to sacrifice this.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Department of Homeland Security set up the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, well, that wasn't a sacrifice on my part. That's just an inconvenience.
Right.
That is, you're taking away a certain amount of my freedoms.
You weren't given the choice.
Right.
I mean, yes, you could choose not to fly, but in the event that you need to fly to get from point A to point B, you didn't have the opportunity to say, no, that's okay, I won't be sacrificing that today.
Right.
800-259-9231, whether you want to talk about sacrifice, the abysmal Department of Homeland Security, or whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during a U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president, a serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage, if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple, more of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
This is a market alert from Midas Resources. Since August 9th, the Fed has created and injected $200 billion into the financial markets to keep them afloat, ignoring the hyperinflationary hangover that is the sure result. Data released by the New York Federal Reserve shows that foreign central banks have cut their stash of U.S. Treasuries by $48 billion since late July, with falls of $32 billion in the last 2 weeks alone. Could China be quietly dumping the dollar? The quality of your life depends on the quality of your currency, and the quality of the dollar is poor because the quantity is so high. Printing money out of thin air has disastrous results, victimizing middle-class citizens and discouraging savings. If you have been considering precious metals as a hedge against inflation, you need to act now. Procrastination is the mother of lost opportunities. Call me, Tom Andrew, at 1-800-606-1294. That's 1-800-606-1294.
Do you suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, unbalanced cholesterol, or clogged arteries? Do you want to live free of sickness, pain, and fear with increased vitality? Today, you're going to learn about an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and improved circulation. It's called Heart and Body Extract, and it's going to change your life. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, was astonished by how quickly the product worked for her.
Within 2 weeks of using the formula, my blood pressure went from 160 over 110 to 120 over 70. Typically, a person will notice a difference within the first bottle.
So exactly how does Heart and Body Extract work?
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself.
Here are just a few of the benefits associated with Heart and Body Extract. Angina is gone in just a few days. Blood pressure goes back to normal, and irregular heartbeat returns to normal. Heart and Body Extract works by making sure your body is in balance. Doctors who've tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results. Dr. Mark Goodman talks about his experience with the product.
My experience has been tremendous. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think it's the best way to go.
Dr. Shreve also witnessed the positive effects with his patients.
This is an encouraging development that I think that I have seen in a long while. In dealing with these patients who are so ill, I am just amazed.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2 month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up anything. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. Join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on the site are for free. We've got archives, an entire year's worth of the show right there on the front page of the website. So download them at your convenience. They're on us. That's freetalklive.com. Now you can save time and money on common legal matters created by top attorneys. LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable documents, legal documents, like setting up a corporation or limited liability company. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL to save 10%. That's code FTL. That's LegalZoom.com. Just a few more thoughts on the Department of Homeland Security, big old bureaucracy. The Government Accountability Office is saying that, well, according to the numbers that they've crunched, looks like the Department of Homeland Security has failed to meet more than half of 171 performance expectations during their review. So they just fail over here and fail over there, and guess what's going to happen next year? They're going to get the same budget or bigger than they got last year.
Well, the more they fail, the more money they must need, right? They're just not getting the job done.
That's how it works. Of course, Department of Homeland Security officials disagreed strongly with the GAO's conclusion, citing flawed methodology. According to DHS Undersecretary for Management Paul Schneider, the methodology, of course, was to study the legislation, presidential directives, and controlling regulations, and determine whether DHS was doing what it was supposed to be doing. In so many areas, it failed to live up to that simple criterion. Maybe we're safer now than before 9/11, as Chertoff repeatedly says, but I doubt it. Homeland Security's become yet another pork barrel bonanza for government contractors, state and local governments, and well-connected insiders who get hundreds of billions of dollars for new toys we just don't need. And with Homeland Security's track record, we'd likely get much better security just by buying every American a rifle and sidearm in training. Come to think of it, that would save hundreds of billions of dollars, too.
Well, my understanding is that there's for every 10 Americans, there's 9 handguns in the United States, so I don't think we need to buy any.
Yeah, just get them to train them on them.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
not that
he's not being serious when he's advocating that. He's just pointing out that that'd be more effective than anything that the Department of Homeland Security is doing.
I would agree.
Because you shouldn't force people to learn firearms. If you don't have an interest in them, then you shouldn't be forced to learn them. That's, you know, a lot of people will say, well, we should mandate that everybody has guns instead of preventing people from having guns. We should do the other, you know, the reverse, and mandate it. No. That's anti-freedom as well. You let people decide for themselves how to defend themselves. Some people, they don't like guns at all. Some people would rather use
a ninja sword.
Yeah, well, I mean, hand-to-hand combat, that sort of thing. So
some people would just rather lose.
Some people are pacifists.
Yeah.
They don't believe in fighting, period. 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. Now, I actually came across something interesting here, and I don't know if we're going to have time to do it. It's just so good, but it's so long. I'm trying to see if I can chop it down. I have some updated information on Somalia. So many times people will say, well, where can you point to an example of a place where there's no government? And I reluctantly usually will say, well, Somalia. Of course, it's not exactly the shining beacon on a hill that you want to point to as far as, I mean, it's not a very pretty place.
No.
But nonetheless, there have been some interesting developments there, and hopefully we'll be able to get to that tonight. But in the meantime, I think we should go to Mark's email box. You had at least two different emails, one about, I think, religious freedom,
mm-hmm.
the other about fiat currency. So pick one, and let's go with it.
Well, let's go with the religious freedom one.
All right. So what's all this about? Because we had an old lady call in earlier this week talking about how she wanted to use her religious freedom to not stand up in court, but apparently that wasn't allowed, and she got thrown in jail for it.
15 days, I believe, and it was
yeah.
sometime back in the 80s. She was 65 at the time.
Right.
She was 80-something now. Anyway, this comes from Dennis. Mark, I just heard the 910 podcast in which an amazingly brave and wonderful lady named Jo called in from Texas. She related a story of how she and several other activists spent 2 weeks in jail for simply failing to stand for the judge. Now,
the sitting seven, as they were called.
Yes, that's right. It was difficult to know whether or not it was 15 days or 30 days. She kind of had both in the story there. But either way, 15 days in jail stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was no trial for it either. They just were sent to a jail.
Contempt of court because
right.
they didn't stand. The conversation was brilliant, but unfortunately I fear that Ian's rabid atheism led to him to overlook an important comment that Jo made. She was refusing to stand on religious grounds. Maybe that may seem irrelevant detail to Ian at the time, but terms of what remains in our Constitution is everything. In fact, the issue of what things are protected by religion is very much in play at this very moment. Wikipedia sums it up best in the article about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA. I've cut the article down to the bare-bone basics, and it mentions drugs, so I hope you'll read it. The free exercise... You must think that you're a drug addict, Ian.
I'm not a drug addict. I don't know why you would think that.
The Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment states that Congress shall not pass laws prohibiting the free exercise of religion. But in the 1980s, the court began allowing bans on religious activities as long as they affected all religions equally. In the key case, the court upheld the state's refusal to give unemployment benefits to two Native Americans fired from their jobs at a rehab clinic after testing positive for mescaline, the main psychoactive compound in the peyote cactus, which they used in a religious ceremony. In response, both liberal and conservative groups joined forces to support RFRA, which would overturn laws if religious exercise is substantially burdened by them. And I'm not exactly sure I understand what that means. Unless the law is the least restrictive means of furthering a compelling state interest. The act was signed into law by the U.S. President Bill Clinton. So far, so good, right? Under the new law, you could do pretty much anything you like on religious grounds, even take drugs, as long as you're not killing, stealing, or plotting to overthrow the government. But then it went sour. In 1997, this act was overturned by the United States Supreme Court because it overstepped Congress's power. Damn, can you believe the brazenness of those Supremes? But guess what? There's a new hope. Continuing with the article. However, a number of states have passed so-called mini RFRAs, applying the rule to the laws of their own state. This interpretation was confirmed on February 21, 2006, as the Supreme Court ruled unanimously against the government in a case which involved the use of an illegal substance in a religious ceremony, decisively stating that the federal government must show a compelling state interest in restricting religious freedoms. Guess what? One of the NHLA...
Well, the state interest would be it's sending a bad message.
Yes. One of the NHLA A-rated reps is going to introduce a Religious Freedom Restoration Act in New Hampshire legislature in 2008. And as long as the people who lobby in favor of it don't carp out on the drugs aspect and instead focus on the religious freedom aspect, it has a damn good chance of passing into law in this state. Maybe Joe and her fellow faithful should start thinking about relocating to New Hampshire.
So all they'll have to do is claim that they have a compelling state interest and they'll still be able to throw you in a jail cell, right?
I guess
I understand what was just written.
That I guess so.
So, therefore, you couldn't, for instance, not pay taxes based on a religious freedom excuse because the state will claim it has an interest in collecting those taxes. You probably couldn't get away with smoking marijuana because the state will say it has an interest in promoting a healthy drug,
I think
a healthy
lifestyle.
You could
lifestyle. Get away with smoking marijuana, but the state would have to prove its interest in a court of law first before you could be charged with anything else.
Well, the state's running a war on drugs to try to keep kids away from drugs, and the fact that now all you have to do is claim to be a Rastafarian in order to smoke marijuana, all the kids are just going to go and claim to be Rastafarians, and then how's the state going to be able to control drugs anymore? The state has to control drugs. I don't see this as being a real great step in the right direction. I mean, maybe it's symbolic, but you're up against the drug warriors, man, and they're not going to let their little monopoly go anytime soon. They like being able to control drugs and having people being able to take and distribute drugs simply because they claim to be part of a religion. The cops are not going to let this one slide by. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live. You take control and bring up anything.
Hi, this is Jeff Rentz, and if you're interested in suppressed natural cures and rare exotic remedies, this may be the most important message you'll hear for a long time. There's an opportunity right now for a limited number of listeners to acquire an amazing, blacklisted, naturally occurring compound with very unusual ionic properties. In fact, it's considered the single most important remedy in all of Ayurvedic medicine. Medical studies have been conducted abroad on the effects this rare mineral-like compound has on energy, diabetes, tumors, ulcers, memory, and brain function, not to mention reproductive health, exercise recovery, and arthritis. Because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made. However, it's still quite legal to own this compound. And the best part? My listeners pay nothing down. Simply go to blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Or call 815-259-4552. That's 815-259-4552 for details.
Hey, Jack Blood here. I think that if we could see the germs and potential biohazards all around us in our daily surroundings, we would turn into Howard Hughes. We try not to think about it primarily because we might think there's nothing we can do about it. Not so fast. Now there is a solution. I'm talking about Hazarid Complete Protection Kit, available now at Hazarid.com. This is the single solution that is tame enough to safely conquer everyday household and business cleaning chores, yet strong enough to decontaminate biological hazards. Hazarid fights infectious disease and unsurpassed odor, mold, and allergens. This is an amazing state-of-the-art disinfectant with a no-questions-asked guarantee. Safe for kids and pets and indispensable for your home, car, or business. Wherever you go, take Hazarid with you. Call them now to order 800-675-0323. That's 800-675-0323. Or go to the web www.hazarid.com. Hazarid, hazarid.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following 2 free reports. U.S. debt bubble red alert and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online, freetalklive.com. The Shrine of Female Listeners is there. Dozens of ladies have sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. See what I mean? By heading over to shrine.freetalklive.com, shrine.freetalklive.com.
The Republican Liberty Caucus welcomes new members in the pursuit of individual rights, limited government, and free enterprise principles, all within the GOP. Visit rlc.org and click Join Us Today. We'll find liberty together. That's rlc.org.
Let's go to the phones, to the phone, talk to Mike in Connecticut. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Mike.
Okay. I was just calling to talk about the standing up in court.
Yes, sir.
I think I've read Supreme Court cases on that. I don't think it's quite, I don't think that's a crime not to stand up in court.
Well, a lot of judges, they get very upset. They are wearing a robe, and they think they're very special. They think they're very special people, and
yeah,
they don't. It's their courtroom, as they claim, and they don't like to be disrespected. And so, apparently, I mean, we're obviously going by what Joe said. I mean, she sounded like a nice old lady.
I believe she got charged. I'm not saying she didn't get charged, but I think it's a constitutional issue. It's, in fact, it's not even, I don't think it's a law. I mean, I wonder what she was charged with.
She was charged with contempt of court.
Contempt.
And but apparently there wasn't even a trial for it either.
Right. If you're a spectator, why? How would you get contempt of court? That's what I'm
Again,
saying.
The judge, you know, he's in control. The bailiffs will follow his every order. So it was just a matter of the judge saying, you know, take those people to jail. And that's what they did. And of course, I think she actually pointed out that you can't fight these people. I mean, if
right,
you're just the average American, you can't afford to hire a lawyer and go
or,
and...
Or if you didn't know how to defend yourself. But,
right, you can't go and sue the government over these things because, A, you don't know what you're doing. B, you know, you're playing ball in their system where they have an unlimited taxpayer-funded... essentially bales and bales of money to pull money from and keep fighting you. So, you know, what can you do in that particular case?
Well, I mean, I know people who go to court over parking violations and, you know, make the city lawyers spend $350 an hour, you know, to fight you. So,
well, I mean, that's good. And I think you should challenge the system as much as you possibly can. I absolutely think that you should, but I also understand the perspective that, you know, what can you really do in the scheme of things? I mean, is the ACLU really going to get behind you on this? I don't know.
No, they're there to neutralize things, but... I think disobeying an order from a judge would be contempt of court, but not from a bailiff or somebody who's security officer, basically.
I think probably if we talk to somebody who's maybe actually in the system, they might know a little bit more, because at this point we're just speculating. But
right.
Mike, any other thoughts?
But no, I just I know I read cases on that, because I actually was looking into that stuff. Cause
well, we've
I
done it.
I mean, screamed at one of those people telling me to stand up.
I have been in a courtroom and not stood for a judge, and nobody said anything except for the woman who was in front of us, and she was one of the lawyers. She says, "You have to stand up."
Yeah.
And we didn't, and everything was fine.
Well, it's
so.
Almost like a religious ceremony, basically, you know.
Yeah, well, the judges are definitely worshipped to some extent.
They're the God, and you have to stand before them, otherwise, you know.
Right, and I refuse to do that. Mike, thanks for the call.
Right.
Appreciate hearing from you. Now, on the other hand, I suppose there is a possibility that a judge could be worth standing for, in which case, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I think in general, I don't really have much respect for judges, just like I don't have much respect for the whole system. So why should I show any? 1-800-259-9231. Let's talk to Jeff in Missouri. Jeff, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Thank you for taking my call this evening.
What's on your mind, Jeff?
All these 9/11 nuts. They always want to blame Jews or the government, but never the Muslims.
I don't understand.
These 9/11 truthers and the extreme people, they always want to blame everyone but the Muslims.
So what are we have against Muslims?
Radical Muslims.
Oh, okay.
They don't want to blame them. But they want to blame everyone else.
Well, I think that that would if they did blame the radical Muslims, if they went with the story that we've been given, which is Osama bin Laden was in charge of, 17 or whatever of 13 bombers that got on planes and.
Well, no, it's not like they didn't. It's not like they rode a conquest to the Middle East in 630 A.D. Oh no, it's not like they didn't do that.
Are you really saying that radical Muslims today are bad because there's something happened over conquest?
Well, I'm just saying, it's like what I'm trying to say is, it's like the people that are saying that the government did 9/11 is like the Muslims didn't do any of it.
Okay, well,
they always point to the Christian crusades and all this other stuff, but they never point out to the before, like the Muslim conquest happened before the Crusades in 630 A.D.
Sure, it absolutely did. And I think that all religions can probably, at least the religions I'm familiar with, the ones in the West, are the ones that are derived from the sort of messianic tradition with the Jews and that kind of thing. They all have their goods and bads as far as what they've done in their histories.
Yeah, they all should be subject to critique, no doubt about that.
I've done my own looking into this stuff. And how all these people are saying, like, fire can't melt steel at a certain degrees. Well, they didn't take into account the fire was burning for several hours, and not to mention the couple tons of debris on top of that.
You know, we were actually being interviewed today, Mark, and you made a point that I liked, and that was that we could sit here and do our own research in order to counteract all of the points that these conspiracy people make, but really, that's not even worth our time. And I have looked at some of it just because it's interesting to me, but being a compendium of counter-arguments for the conspiracy theorists is also something that I don't relish. I like the idea of moving forward, moving ahead, talking about liberty, talking about freedom, discussing the issues, and thank you for the call, Jeff. We appreciate hearing from you. So I don't exist to rebut the conspiracy theorists as far as their point-by-point basis. I don't care about the steel and the temperatures and the thermite and the building 7 and the explosions and on and so forth, and therefore, I don't care about all that. I care about promoting liberty and freedom and talking about issues.
And some of our listeners do believe that the towers were brought down by the government, and they still amplify the program. It just goes to show that Free Talk Live is a great venue for putting forth the ideas of liberty, and we don't have to agree on every point.
You know, speaking of awful courtroom stories, from Haverhill, New Hampshire, a former Ashland man cleared of assaulting a police officer while trying to rush his pregnant fiancée to the hospital is now being sent to jail by a judge. This is according to Boston.com. A jury deliberated about 15 minutes last month before acquitting Nathaniel Gibbs, who's 25, after a four-day trial. Okay, the jury acquitted Nathaniel Gibbs.
Correct.
But Monday, Grafton County Superior Court Judge Gene Burling nullified the jury's verdict, ordering Gibbs to serve a suspended sentence from a previous drug conviction. She said, "I don't know how the jury made its decision. This is my own, based on the testimony I heard." Burling said she found by a preponderance of evidence that Gibbs assaulted an officer and disobeyed an officer, actions that violated the good behavior requirements of the previous suspended sentence. The jury must determine guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
So she kind of managed to sentence the guy on a technicality.
Right.
I called Judge Burling's office.
Really?
Yeah. And I wanted to comment. And the bureaucrat in charge of the judge's office, we don't make comments on judges' rulings. We don't have to. You're our servant, not the other way around, citizen.
Hmm.
You know, that's essentially what they said. And
nice.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the feeling that I got. We don't comment. That was the only statement that I got from the bureaucrat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it looks like the judge managed to slide through on a technicality here. The gentleman, what was his name?
Mr. Gibbs.
Gibbs had a suspended sentence from a previous charge.
Right. So she didn't actually nullify what the jury said. She just punished him for violating his
suspended
sentence.
The jury found him not guilty. He was not guilty. But she said that his actions were not congruous with his suspended sentence, the requirements of a suspended sentence from a previous conviction. So I've got to say, Mr. Gibbs should have kept his butt out of trouble, and unfortunately, I don't agree with the judge, but she did what, in this case, she did something that she could do, and she did it. I don't agree with it, but Mr. Gibbs got himself in trouble previously, and if you don't get yourself in trouble, you won't have to deal with these people.
Well, it does look, though, like they were harassing him to some extent. They were just trying to get his wife to the hospital.
Right,
and
he just wanted to get the hospital to get his fiancée.
He was probably frustrated. I imagine his wife was in a bit of a state at that
point.
And
you always heard that the cops would help you get to the hospital when you had a pregnant lady.
Exactly. Now, more on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with another Car Clinic Minute. Sherlock Holmes, Miss Marple, and Perry Mason. Everyone likes a good mystery. But if you don't have a clue what 10W30 means, don't ask the butler. When I come back, I'll tell you. I'm Bobby Ligas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going. Fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to bgfindashop.com.
BG.
The case of what does 10W30 mean tops the bestseller list of oil mysteries. Here are the clues. The first number rates the oil's viscosity, or thickness, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. The W means the oil can handle cold winter temperatures. And the second number refers to its viscosity at 210 degrees. FYI, lower numbers mean thinner oil. Today's cars typically use skinny oil, like 5W-30, so that it can squeeze into tightly engineered engine parts. Now the mystery's solved. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind via the toll-free number. 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line for you, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
That's 800-259-9231. You can support the show. Well, not really. You can support Mark, because you're selling something, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even get a cut of this. So I am being very charitable here.
Okay.
Allowing you to promote your sale on my show.
Just go to auction.freetalklive.com. I'm selling my Treo 600, and, you know, I thought I'd use the show to do it. Ian sells his house. Why not try the Treo? Auction.freetalklive.com.
What is a Treo?
A Treo's like a little, it's like a BlackBerry, Raspberry thing. It's a little...
I guess if you knew what it was, you'd go and bid on it. If you don't know, then that's it, right?
It's a cell phone, handheld computer. You can check your email and all that other stuff.
And they can read, look at all your contacts and stuff, right? I mean, it's all still in there.
I'm afraid I've already...
Sneaky man. All right, auction.freetalklive.com, bid on Mark's phone. Let's go to the phones and talk to, I believe it's, yes, Michael in Texas, listening on KTAE. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering why you think governments, they try to keep plants from people.
You mean marijuana, for instance?
And, you know, magic mushrooms and stuff that makes you get in contact with the creator.
Well, you know, it's an excellent question. Why do they do it? I mean, I'd like to ask you why you think here in a moment, but there are several reasons. Some of them may actually be drug warriors who believe that certain substances are inherently wrong or immoral, and therefore they believe that it's okay to use force on people in order to stop them from putting those substances in their bodies. There are, of course, those who understand that by prohibiting substances and services that goes to the underground, it goes to the black market, and they would like to enrich themselves by operating in a black market capacity, like corrupt police officers and that sort of thing. But as far as the reasons why the drug war started, originally it had to do with William Randolph Hearst and some other big business guys in the early part of the 20th century that basically they didn't like the fact that hemp, for instance, at least in the case of marijuana, that hemp could be used as all kinds of different things, like products to make paper. You could make paper out of hemp, as well as a variety of other things. And so they wanted to outlaw that, and they sort of tacked on this whole, well, it makes you crazy, and it'll make white girls date black men and that sort of thing. And so those were the original reasons, but what do you think the reason is?
Well, I'm just not sure why they would keep away natural. So, I mean, we have other stuff that alters your consciousness. Say, for instance, coffee and sugar and other plants that...
Alcohol,
you know. And I'm wondering why it's more enforced on marijuana and these other kind of substances that you might use in a religious situation.
I think that you know, one of the ways you could look at it is, I think there are some people in government that they don't like the idea that people might have their mind expanded a little bit. I think that. You know, for every person that uses drugs that maybe goes in the wrong direction, there are people that are still going in positive directions that are very responsible drug users. If not, I think there are far more responsible drug users than there are irresponsible ones, but I have nothing to back that up except my own personal life experience. And I think that my personal use of drugs has definitely been a benefit to my life as far as my mindset and the things that, you know, just my viewpoint and that sort of thing. And maybe they just want people to be all alike or something
like
that.
I think marijuana is largely harmless, but I'd say that there's other drugs that are very harmful.
Oh, definitely. I mean, opium and heroin coming in right now from Afghanistan. And, you know, we know some of these families been trading opium since way back. And I myself, I'm a Rastafarian, so mm-hmm. I use the substance marijuana to get in tune with the Creator and keep me in a natural timing, because I feel like the frequency of the 9-to-5 rat race is what makes everybody go insane, get on Prozac. All I need to do is light up my bone ribs. I'm good to go.
I'm with you on that one, Michael, and thank you for the call. We appreciate it and hope to hear from you again. 800-259-9231, the Sickle CAI toll-free line. If you want to share your answer to Michael's question, why is it that these products are prohibited? Why is it? Is there some sort of conspiracy to prevent people from doping up? Or is it also maybe they want people to get high? Maybe they want people to take drugs. That could be the other side of the conspiracy coin. You know, maybe the government people want you to get on drugs and get hooked so you'll ruin your life and just be not be a threat to them.
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure that it's great for your life to go out and do bong rips or whatever Michael was suggesting. I'm not sure that's a good thing, but I do know that...
I've done plenty of bong rips in my time, let me tell you.
What exactly is a bong rip?
Well, it's a sort of colloquial term for smoking a marijuana bong.
Yeah, kind of what I figured. And I've done a few bong rips myself. But I think that drugs, any kind of, you know, what is colloquially, or what we call drugs here in the United States, even though it's plants in some cases, I think that they're road bumps on they're speed bumps on the road to success. I think that you can do better if you don't do drugs, you don't do alcohol, you don't do these things.
Well, you can do better if you don't watch TV as well. I mean,
absolutely
true. There's all kinds of things that'll suck away your time and your money.
Absolutely true. I just don't think that it's a great idea for us to throw people like Michael in jail for it. And he seems to believe that somehow he's getting in touch with God by smoking pot. Maybe that's so, maybe it's not, but who am I to say that he's not?
Well, I can say that some people that have definitely taken more hardcore substances have claimed to have talked to God and that sort of thing. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist personally, but there's no doubt that some people have some very powerful, very spiritual experiences on many drugs. And it's all open to speculation as to why they want to stop people from using these things. And I think there are a variety of different reasons, and I think we've touched on some of them. I think some people just like to control others. I think there's also another fun factor aspect. I think some people are jealous of drug users, and they feel like they wish they could be a part of that culture, but they can't be for whatever reason, and so they're jealous, and so they want to stop them from having their fun. Oh, it's okay. You can have the alcohol brand of fun, but you can't have the marijuana brand of fun. It's very strange.
I think I've experienced the fun police attitude in myself. I generally, you know, when I see young men, for some reason I'm aggressive towards them. And when I see them on the street and stuff, I'm just like, grr.
Like the gangsta men? Or what?
Just in general, just young guys, grr, I know more than you. I'm a male and I've been through it kind of thing. So I don't know that I wish that I were like those guys, but I do resent their fun in some ways.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know that I wish that I was like them, but I resent their fun.
Right, so it's that attitude times 10 to where you're willing to actually physically prevent them from having the fun they want to have and indeed throw them in a jail cell and potentially ruin the rest of their lives.
Right, I'm not willing to spend any of my money on putting them in jail. I'm certainly not willing to force someone else to spend their money on putting them in jail.
Right, so I think there are a variety of reasons why drugs were made illegal, and I think there are powerful reasons why drugs remain illegal, and that is one of the more powerful reasons is because it's a huge government program. They don't want the drug war to go anywhere. They don't want to legalize marijuana, even though they probably all know it's pretty much harmless. They don't want to legalize marijuana because that's where the drug war is at.
Right, it really is. Most of the arrests on drugs are marijuana arrests, and most of the marijuana arrests are possession arrests.
That's right. And so the rest of the arrests are all, the other half of the arrests, I think it's like 1.5 million arrests per year in America now.
For drugs, in general.
Yeah, and about 750,000 over that is for marijuana. And the rest of it, the other 750,000, is all of the other drugs combined.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a war on marijuana, and if you were to just legalize marijuana, then the budget, you know, the drug enforcement budgets could theoretically be cut, and that would be very upsetting to DEA agents.
Even if you were to make it legal to have an ounce of marijuana, that would kill the drug war, because so much of their money comes from just, you know, large fines for possession charges.
Right. Those 750,000 people aren't high-level dealers.
No.
The 750,000 people, 98% of them are people that got busted with a joint in their ashtray, or they got caught with an eighth at school.
No, not 98%. It's a lower number than that, but it's a lot of them.
Well, even the dealers they bust aren't big-time dealers, though. Mm. I mean, the dealers they bust are selling an ounce here and there. Or
you can have you could have an ounce of marijuana, but you had it in four different bags. You'd be in big trouble. It would
look like instant dealing charge.
Right.
Right.
You could have the same ounce that I could have, where I would just get a possession charge, but because it was in four separate bags, that's dealing.
Right. And a lot of the big time dealers will never be caught. They're way too cautious. They're way too careful. It's their business to be a big time marijuana dealer. And, you know, the serious drug dealers in America, they work with the DEA. Some of them do.
Well, gangsters have always had cops on the inside. I mean, that's nothing new. It happened in the 20s with with alcohol, and it's happening now.
So did we miss anything? Did we miss any speculation on why it is that drugs were made illegal? Why it is certain people in America don't want others to do drugs, specific drugs? Because as he pointed out, coffee, you know, caffeine, alcohol, these things are all legal. So why is it the other ones aren't? 800-259-9231. This is your show. Hour number two is on the way. We'll talk Somalia. We'll talk to Josh, Nikaya, and James, and your calls as well. Especially ladies, if you call in, you come first. This is Free Talk Live. Liberty, self-ownership, the nature of government, libertarianism. What do these things mean? If you, or perhaps somebody you know, needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about on Free Talk Live, you should check out the Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in under 10 minutes. It's great for someone new to liberty, and it's free. Go to LibertyRadioUnderground.com today and grab an episode. LibertyRadioUnderground.com.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.